Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wolf Packers Show. My name is Ethan McDowell. I am here with Noah Fleischman. We are back, both back on the East Coast for the first time in what seems like months, because we just finished covering a historic run for both NC State basketball teams. Didn't end how either squad wanted it to. Both squads lost in the national semifinal contest. But what a run, Noah. What a special thing to be a part of. What a special few weeks to cover these two teams as they achieved program history, got NC State basketball close to the mountaintop, back to the place where it's accustomed to being, where what the place where these fans were desperate for that level of success. And these two magical runs got the Pack there. We're going to recap it a little. We're going to share our favorite moments, our favorite memories from these runs. And we're going to talk about what's next for these programs, because in addition to all of the fun and the joy that these teams spread throughout Wolfpack Nation over the past few weeks, they also built a ton of positive momentum. Both of those teams now have bright futures and a lot of excitement that they could capitalize on over the next couple weeks with the portal, with player retention, and just staff retention and all of that. So we're going to get into all of it. But first, a quick housekeeping note. We're both reporters for thewolfpacker.com. That's NC State's site on the On3 network, the fastest growing college football and basketball and recruiting site out there. There's no better time to join than now with the portal opening. Go check it out at thewolfpacker.com. It is only $1 right now to subscribe to our premium content. That gives you access to our premium message board, recruiting scoop, some team analysis, transfer portal info. I think we have all of that just on the site over the past few days. So go check it out right now. No better time to join. It doesn't get cheaper than $1 for your first month. So go check it out. And we'll jump right into it from there, Noah. Let's talk some basketball. Let's start with the men's team. Nine historic wins that have now been laid out on Kevin Keats's new fancy shoes with the nine ice cream scoops. What a moment, what a run for the Wolfpack, Noah. You were at the Final Four. You got to fly out to Arizona to cover this all. You were in the Cardinals' massive stadium with the spotlight all over the Pack, the team that had been dubbed America's team. Who would have thought that would happen? Literally, I had friends texting me from all over the place that had never watched NC State, much less college basketball, asking me, hey, why didn't you tell me about DJ Burns sooner? Why didn't you tell me about NC State? This team rocks. And hey, it was super fun. I really enjoyed being a part of it. Noah, what was it like being there in person to cover a Final Four?
It was wild. You know, you think about it, the Final Four is obviously the biggest stage in all of college basketball, men and women, and you look at each one of their tournaments at the end, but it was quite wild. 74,000 people. Feels different to see a basketball court on a football inside a football stadium. Kind of weird to see that. But it was great. Had great seats for the game, center court right behind the TV guys. Ended up, photobombing TV at halftime. So that was cool. But overall, it was a great run, from NC State, and it culminated in a trip to the Final Four, a great reward for what they were able to accomplish. And they obviously wanted to win. I don't think by the time you get to that point, I think all four teams, the Final Four, think they can win the national championship, and just their cards didn't fall their way in the semifinal game. But I mean, heck of an accomplishment for what Kevin Keats was able to do. First Final Four appearance since 1983. The Wolfpack will drop some banners inside PNC Arena in November.
Yeah, multiple banners going up later this year. So that's really exciting. The Pack obviously lost to top seeded Purdue. The Boilermakers won 63-50 before losing in the national championship to UConn this weekend. The shooting cooled off a little bit. Michael O'Connell's injury didn't help. But any big takeaways from this game? Obviously, know, this is the end of the road for this Wolfpack team, but anything you kind of gleaned from this national semifinal game?
Yeah, if you just look at the game, Michael O'Connell's injury, talk about it, you know, tweaked his hamstring, kind of just running down the court, you know, kind of a freak thing that happened just at the wrong time. I mean, this team played 41 games, avoided major injury for most of it. And this was probably the biggest injury blow that they faced all year, a guy that was playing at his best, you know, in the postseason, scoring the ball, also facilitating. And I think that's what NC State missed the most, which is, you know, his ability to set up his teammates and get the offense going. Forced DJ Horn back into that primary ball handler spot a little bit with Breon Pass, who played well too. Don't get me wrong. Breon Pass had 4 points, and I'm sure everybody thought that at the beginning of the season. If you said, if I had told somebody, hey, Breon Pass will score 4 points in the final four game, people would probably give you a weird look. But, I mean, he played really well for NC State. But, yeah, that Michael O'Connell's injury probably was the game changer of the day for the Wolfpack. It took a lot out of them, and Purdue was able to pull away in the second half. Hit 10 threes. Not great. We saw what happens when Purdue doesn't hit threes. They don't score a lot of points, and UConn was able to pull away in the championship game. But other than that, you know, great experience. I think it presents an opportunity for NC State to build, and they can build off this momentum now and go into the transfer portal and get some players that they need to fill out their roster for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned that they had played over 40 games this season. I mean, that has to be the most anyone's ever played on the route to a Final Four run, just because of...
Yes, it was the most games. 40 games was. They were also the team that had the most meta losses playing the Final Four ever, with 14.
Yeah.
They earned their 15th loss in the Final Four. But yeah, 41 was, we believe, is the most in Final Four history, but it's definitely the most that NC State has ever played in 1 year.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Makes the run even more special, even more improbable. We'll get into the future in a second for them, but I wanted to recap the women's game as well. They face number one overall seed South Carolina, the eventual undefeated national champion, Gamecocks, and they hung with them well in the first half. I mean, South Carolina is really, really talented. Camila Cardoso, their 6'7" post player, dominated, but the Pack hung with them despite that. Kept a decent offensive pace against a really, really talented defense and went into halftime down one. And at that point, you're looking at it and you're like, shoot, like not many teams can even say they played that close against South Carolina for a half. I mean, UNC was losing to them by like 30 something at halftime, I think. So very strong first half performance, then just kind of unraveled. I mean, South Carolina is so deep, Noah. Like, they are so deep. They had 9 or 10 players who could go out there and play at a super, super high level. And I think the Wolfpack's lack of depth kind of caught up to them. And the shots went cold at the wrong time. They were getting some decent looks in the second half, but they weren't falling. And as soon as you give South Carolina that little tiny window, they're going to take advantage of it, run away with it. And the Gamecocks won the third quarter 29-6. And, I mean, that's all you got to hear. That was the difference. That was all. For that game, I mean, again, this is another team where it's not nearly as improbable as the men's run. This Wolfpack squad was ranked third in the country for most a big chunk of the season, but they were picked 8th in the preseason ACC poll. They were unranked in the AP poll. Like, no one expected this year's NC State team to be a Final Four squad, and they beat Texas and Tennessee and Stanford on their way there. That's two of those are teams that have two of the top three picks in the WNBA draft on their roster, and did so in a really, really exciting, fun way where you have, you know, Isaiah James emerging as one of the top guards in the country. Saniah Rivers continuing to play at a high level. Zoe Brooks really just showing that truly no moment was too big for her this entire season. So that was really, really impressive, I thought. And the good news is most of the team's coming back. You lose River Baldwin and Mimi Collins, but the rest of the team can come back if it wants to. So bright, bright future for the Pack. I think they exceeded everyone's expectations but themselves. They knew they were capable of this, but a very exciting run. Didn't end in the way they wanted it to, but, I mean – no one beat the Gamecocks this year. South Carolina was just a buzzsaw for literally everyone. And they get a shot at revenge in November. NC State will be in Charlotte for an early season game against South Carolina. So that'll be a fun one. We'll see what both teams look like by then, but that's going to be an entertaining matchup for sure. Noah, let's go ahead and jump into the futures of both of these programs. We'll start with the women since we're already talking about them. I already mentioned River Baldwin and Mimi Collins. I quickly mentioned that they're gone. I should probably circle back and just emphasize that those are two huge, huge losses for the team. Both starting players, both played a lot of minutes for the Pack and were critical pieces on both ends of the court. River Baldwin's post presence was much needed defensively. I mean, you have a 6'5 center, you can guard pretty much anyone. You know, the Liz Kitley's at Virginia Tech and the, Camila Cardozo's at South Carolina are like the few players that can stand taller than River Baldwin. So you have the size advantage in most games. You lose her reliable scoring presence in the paint as well. And then Mimi Collins, you know, just a consistent scorer, just averaged double-digit points and did so in, I'd say, a pretty quiet manner, but by just hitting consistent big shots when the Pack needed her, could guard like four positions, probably five, honestly, was huge for Westmore's defense that would switch constantly. And now you have to replace her at the power forward spot, and that's not going to be an easy task. She also just brought a ton of leadership and toughness and grit to this team that was much needed at times this year. So, no, those are huge losses for the Wolfpack. But Saniya Rivers said it after the Final Four loss, like, who wouldn't want to run with the Pack after a Final Four run like that? So you look towards the transfer portal, and it's pretty clear they're going to look for a post player. You don't have that many open scholarships because you are bringing in several freshmen. Those freshmen are four total freshmen in this class because you bring in Zamaria Jones, who's the number 17 player in the country, dynamic McDonald's All-American point guard. I mean, the guard talent on this team, Noah, is going to be absurd. I mean, I'll ask you just because you've obviously been following the team down the stretch of this run, but I'm not like overselling it here. Like, there's a lot of reason to be optimistic about next year's squad, right?
There is. I mean, you look at who they're bringing in. Obviously, Zamaria Jones is the centerpiece of a McDonald's All-American. You think Zoe Brooks had a big impact as a freshman? I think Zamaria Jones may have maybe even bigger of an impact as a freshman on this team. I mean, it's going to be really exciting to watch. Talk about Zoe Brooks. She's got another year, under her belt of playing college basketball. She played really well this year, but I think we can get bigger things out of her, looking forward and then seeing what they can do. But yeah, what they have coming in and what they have going out, like, totally different pieces. They're going to have to, go to the portal and get a post player. But I think it's really, really exciting. And then you can look at other people that they're bringing in. And Tola the Trigger, she's 6'6 coming in from Europe. And she's got handles of like a point guard. It's wild. When you watch the videos,
guard skills.
She's going to be, you can play her like on a wing, maybe even at the four, probably at the four. You can play her either one. But if you want to play really big, you put her at the wing and then you can play really fun basketball. I think Westmore will play her a lot. I mean, he doesn't play young players a lot, doesn't really play a bench much, but they're going to have a lot of depth next year. And I think we might see him go a little bit deeper than the 6-7 that he was going with this year.
Yeah, and no need to. The depth just wasn't there this year. But when you have last year's talented freshman class, another player I just want to like mention that I don't think Pack fans should give up on as a potential contributor is Katie Pinoetta, who transferred to NC State last year from Sacramento State. She was one of the best three-point shooters in the country last year, but it just had like a rough run of injuries and just some bad luck. She got in a car accident right before the season opener. So I think she is someone that I could see contributing from as like a potential power forward. She's tall. She's over 6 foot. So, you're bringing back, we should say, the nucleus of Zoe Brooks, Isaiah Jane, Saniya Rivers, and Madison Hayes. That can be four spots in your starting lineup because Madison Hayes can play the three and against some smaller teams and play the four against taller teams. She's one of the more versatile players in the country. And if you add a quality post player, then you mentioned the freshman class like Trigger and then Zamaria Jones. Like, those are two, I think, like elite recruits, in my opinion. Obviously, it's not a controversial opinion with Jones, but I think if Trigger was in the United States, I think she'd be an elite recruit here. So you have all of those players, and then you know, we should mention Devin Quigley coming in, another top 50 overall recruit, just an elite scorer. She, as a high school junior, Noah, she scored 34.8 points per game. Like, that's nuts. And then also Lorena Awu, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing her last name, but another like solid 6'5 center. So she brings some height to the team. We'll see if she can be an immediate contributor, but there's a lot of reasons to be excited about the talent coming into NC State squad this year. And I'm really excited about it. I think The Athletic had them as the way too early number 8 team in the country. So I think that's accurate. I think they're going to be a preseason top 10 team, maybe top 5 if they can bring in a quality post player out of the portal. All right, now let's switch gears here to the men's squad. You had a really, really great in-depth breakdown on the wolfpacker.com about all of the players coming back and the players departing for next year. So let's talk about it. Give me the full breakdown. What is coming and what is going for the Pack this year?
Yeah, obviously, you know, they're losing three starting players, two of their best, you know, creators and playmakers in DJ Burns and GJ Horn. Casey Morcell, arguably one of their best defensive players, also gone. So they lose those three, just eligibility expiring. You know, it's college basketball. Eventually the time just runs out. They also already lost LJ Thomas to the portal. Other than that, when you look at guys on scholarship, everybody else is currently, you know, on the roster. We'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. Things may change, fluctuate with the transfer portal, exit meetings, things like that. But I kind of broke it down into different sections of the roster. Core pieces, role players, back into the roster, and then to be determined. To be determined, obviously, makes you know, you can figure out what that means. But when you look at the core pieces, I put three guys in there for next year's roster so far. Michael O'Connell, Muhammad Diarra, and Brendan Huntley Hatfield. Three guys probably in the starting lineup. Three guys that, you know, show that they can play really well. O'Connell can create. He can also score. He proved that in the postseason. Diarra was a rebounding machine in the postseason. You know, he had double-figure rebounds in, I believe, 7 of the 10 postseason games. So, obviously, he knew what he was doing there. And then Huntley Hatfield, a guy that just got in from Louisville, probably the Cardinals' best player on the court. He's a double-double machine. He'll fit in well, I think, at the 5 spot. They'll play him there. He's more traditional post other than DJ Burns, who's more unique. So you look there, and then role players, Middlebrooks, Taylor, and Parker Jr., all guys that will, you know, have roles next year off the bench and do their thing. Taylor has a chance to start. I did say that in the story. It depends on if they can add a wing or not through the portal. They like him coming off the bench. He adjusted to the role. I wouldn't say he liked it at first, but he adjusted to it, embraced it, played really well in the role down the stretch of the season. And then back into the roster is Breon Pass, Ernest Ross, and Cam Woods. Three guys didn't get a lot of run this year. Breon played well in the Final Four. Ernest Ross scored in the ACC title game. And you know, Cam Woods, guy who wasn't even supposed to play this year with the 2-10 transfer, gotten, I think, 13 games. Played, you know, showed some flashes. I think he can, you know, play well. And then that last group is TBD of Paul McNeil, Trey Parker, and MJ Rice. The first two are both freshmen coming in. McNeil is a guy who has a chance, I think, to break into the starting lineup at some point. We saw Dennis Parker Jr. start as a freshman. Kevin Keats isn't worried about starting a freshman. If they can play, they can play. Trey Parker is a playmaker. He's a flashy guy off the bench. I think, you know, but people like to watch him. He has a lot of highlight reel dunks and things like that in high school. And then MJ Rice is the wild card. He's obviously going through a lot of personal things, redshirted this year after playing 9 games. If they can get him on the court, he's a game changer for this team coming off the bench. You know, he played 9 games this year. He scored the ball, you know, 4.1 points, 1.9 rebounds. Played pretty well when he did get on the court. So if they can get him out there through a full summer workouts, going into the fall, going into the preseason, I think he's the game changer, X factor kind of guy going into next year's roster. And then you look from there what they do. I mean, obviously, you might have another portal guy or two, and then they do have one open scholarship at the moment. So that could grow to 2 or 3, I think. I don't think he gets past 3. So it won't be as big of a portal time for the Wolfpack coaching staff that they had last year when they brought in 8 new faces, 7 of them through the portal.
Yeah, expect a quieter portal season. I wouldn't be surprised if player retention goes really well for the Pack this year as well. Obviously, a lot of excitement around the program right now. I think a lot of players want to stick around, want to be a part of whatever's next for the Kevin Keats era here. Noah, before we head to break and then talk some football, give us the breakdown. The final, I believe, breakdown on Kevin Keats's bonuses. He raked in some cash during this postseason. You've done a good job of keeping track of that through all the clauses in his contract. So give us the final number. How much did Kevin Keats make during NC State's historic run?
Yeah, cash bonuses, he made $400,000 in just straight cash, due to be paid by June 30th. So June 30th is going to be a great day in the get Kevin Keats house. outside of that, he earned a two-year extension and a $500,000 raise starting next year. Two extension came through the ACC title win. The forward of the $500,000 came through that same clause of winning the ACC championship. Add the $100,000 raise for making the Final Four, makes it a $500,000 raise starting next year, which brings him to $3.2 million annually through 2030. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see them rework his deal, rewrite it a little bit. This summer, we'll probably see something come out of that just for what he's able to do. But $3.2 million, what he's at right now. And $400,000 in cash bonuses, which included the one yesterday, $100,000 for finishing in the top 10 in the AP poll, right at number 10. So the voters got him another $100,000. If he had finished outside of the top 10, but inside the top 25, still would have been a $50,000 payday for him. So great pay raise for him and great bonuses. So overall, $400,000 in cash, the rest in the future, up to $3.2 million annually through 2030. This is a guy who everyone thought was on the hot seat a month ago, and now he, as some people said, he hit the lottery. He got to the Final Four, and he got a good payday out of it, so everyone's happy. And the university also, I don't want to be remiss, but there's a reason why these clauses are in his contract, because the athletic department and the university made a lot of money this past month as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and cool to see Coach Keats get some flowers after how the bulk of the season went. Now he is a hero in Raleigh, so I always love it when in sports you can turn a narrative like that on its head. So happy for Coach Keats, happy for both Wolfpack basketball programs. And hey, this I don't know if we are going to call it a basketball school, Noah, but this school sure loves its hoops. So it was cool to see so much joy throughout campus during this run, and looking forward to seeing what's next for both teams. All right. Before we switch gears to the football spring game, I want to say a quick thank you to our sponsor, Game Time. Game Time is a ticket buying and selling marketplace. Whether you're looking for tickets to, I don't know, we're kind of in the off season now, but if you want tickets to a Hurricanes game, a concert, a comedy show, anything like that, Game Time has it. Any sort of event where you need a ticket, you can find it on the Game Time app or on your web browser at gametime.co. It's not .com, that's .co. Yeah, I use it. I love it. And my favorite thing about it, Noah, is when you look on the app, you can see the exact view from your seat where you'd be sitting. I'll show it on camera for those watching on YouTube right now. You can see your view from the seat at this Hurricanes playoff game. Right now, the cheapest ticket for their home playoff opener is $102. So that's a little expensive, I know, but here's a little sweetener for that deal. Use code Wolfpack when you check out. That's all caps Wolfpack, and you get $20 off your first purchase. So even more incentive to run to your nearest app store, go to your web browser and download the Game Time app. Go check it out and use code Wolfpack when you do. All right, Noah, let's talk spring game. I know you didn't get to watch a ton of it. You were a little busy covering a Final Four game. But I did. I was locked in to what was happening at Carter-Finley Stadium. They finally got some good weather for a spring game. Last year it was brutal, Noah. Like, it was a torrential downpour. It was awful. So it was nice to see them actually get to throw the ball around in some sunlight. And holy crap, they produced some fireworks. The red team offense. I should mention they split the squad into two teams: the red team and the white team. The red team was mostly starters and guys who were going to be on the two deep. People competing for starting spots, and the white team had a lot of backups and true freshmen, redshirt freshmen, stuff like that. The red team dominated, as you'd expect. They threw for 492 yards, and that was a combination of an effort from You know, Grayson McCall, obviously, CJ Bailey, and Lex Thomas. They all combined to put up huge stats. All of them threw a touchdown pass. I guess we can start with the quarterback room if you want, Noah. First impressions on the group of Wolfpack signal callers coming out of the spring game. Because I'll tell you what, I was impressed.
I was impressed too. You know, obviously coming from covering a different team in the Sun Belt Conference, I knew what Grayson McCall could do already. I've seen him play. But, you know, he validated it. You know, he's got pretty good accuracy. He can hit most throws. He did have a couple. I think he missed a little bit, you know, especially one, I think, in the flat. But other than that, you know, he played well, hit the balls down the field and did that. CJ Bailey, though, quarterback of the future. I'm just going to put it out there right
totally
now.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
He can make the throws. He also has some legs to him. He got downfield, I think, in what, like a 50-plus yard run in the game and played really well. Obviously, development will be key for him. Putting some more muscle on him will also be key. But this is a guy that I think Wolfpack fans should be really excited for. And I definitely can see, you know, NC State saying, all right, he's the guy moving forward after Grayson McCall departs after the season.
Well, I'll tell you what, as soon as he arrived on campus, pretty much I started to hear positive things about him. There was already positive buzz circulating. After the spring game, Coach Doran just said, like, he's just ahead of where other true freshmen are right now because he played for arguably the best high school team in the country in Chaminade Madonna, played at a super high level there, and I think got knocked because he played on with, like, elite talent around him. But he showed, like, I thought he showed his senior season, like, he was elevating that team. It wasn't just like he wasn't just a game manager getting the ball to these five-star receivers. No, he was elevating how good that team was. Noah, when I was watching him in high school, he had a few games on ESPN, and of course I was watching his huddle tape. He'd have the occasional like scramble and pick up some yards. He was just like an opportunistic scrambler, I guess is how I would phrase it. Like he wasn't looking to run, but when the opportunity presented itself, he's athletic enough to go do it. Hey, when he showed off his burst on that long run, he juked the defender at the line of scrimmage and took off. If he's a true like dual threat guy at 6'6" with the arm talent and the pocket presence he already has, yeah, hand him the keys after this season if he keeps progressing at this current rate. I mean, yeah, he looked great. He has a cannon for an arm. He has a little bit of an unorthodox throwing motion. I don't think that scares the staff. I don't think they really care if, as long as you are getting the ball out quickly and not throwing it at the defense, then I think they're going to be happy. And I think the early returns on CJ Bailey are overwhelmingly positive. That was maybe my biggest takeaway from the spring game. I thought he was just super impressive. And yeah, like you said, McCall was accurate. I think he, at a minimum, is going to be a good point guard for this offense. There's a lot of talent around him, and I think he's going to be able to get the ball to who he needs to get the ball to. Speaking of which, another holy crap moment for me was looking at these rosters, going through, all right, who's playing for the red team? All right, Noah Rogers, Dakari Collins, KC, Jordan Waters, Hollywood, Kendrick Raphael. Noah, Wesley Grimes started the game with the white team just because there's so many receivers. There's so much talent on this offense. He, of course, ended up cycling with the red team as well to get reps with the ones. There are, in my opinion, like 5 starting caliber receivers on this team. I mean, like you have like Julian Gray who started last year. I don't know how like where he's going to factor into the rotation because they brought in so much talent. And so you have like most of last year's group with, you know, Julian Gray and Dakari Collins, I would say, were probably the most reliable outside receivers last year outside of Keon Lassane. So you bring them back and then you have Noah Rogers who caught, you know, 6 passes over 100 yards. Wesley Grimes hauled in 2 touchdowns, including a 90-yard score on a ball where he tracked it, caught the ball way out in front of his body, made a defender miss and took off. Like, holy crap. One thing that I hear a lot of people who are a lot smarter than me in the football media world talk about is building a receiver's room, like a basketball team. Like, you want someone who can do a little bit of everything. And I feel like they have that. I feel like they just have so many guys that you can put in so many different roles. I mean, Justin Jolie, I hadn't even mentioned him yet. He could be a game-changer tight end. Him and Juice Farin both showed some really, really positive flashes in the spring game. So, Noah, I mean, this has to be one of the most talented skill position groups offensively that we've ever seen at NC State in at least a decade.
It is, and it's a great problem to have. I mean, if you have too many, it's a great problem to have, but having not enough. And I think that's what NC State has right now. You talk about Julian Gray. Where do him and Jalen Coit fit? Probably a specialist, return man. But even then, it gets kind of questionable because some of these other receivers they brought in can return the ball. You can look at Terrell Anderson, who's done it. Jonathan Paylor comes in. He can do it too.
He's not even on campus
He's not even here yet. And he's going to be in the two deep. So it's a really exciting time for this wide receiver room. It's going to be something we talk about all summer. It's going to be something we talk about all fall camp, going into the season. Even in the season, we're going to talk about it. NC State has the weapons to be really, really good on offense. Mm-hmm. Has everything it needs, especially the wide receiver room. It's just a matter of can they put it together and make it work on the field. We'll find out. So far, though, early returns look pretty good. This is spring ball. This is a very vanilla playbook. We'll see what happens when they turn into fall camp and really get going and let these guys turn loose a little bit more. But overall, I'm excited. I think, you know, Noah Rogers impressed a lot. You know, Terrell Anderson, he got over an early fumble in the spring game and played pretty well after that. Yeah. He's a freshman. Some things happen. Kevin Concepcion also had a fumble, I believe, or at least a ball above his hand, being an interception against Notre Dame, turned around turned into a pretty good season after that. So early errors are not really too big of a concern for a guy who's 18 playing early. He's still supposed to be in high school. He's here now. It is what it is. He'll be okay. NC State, wide receiver room. We talk about the quarterback being good. Wide receiver room of the future looks good, but the future is now because all these dudes are young and they're going to play a lot. So I think the future is now in that room.
Like, you're going to have players redshirting last year, I think, who – redshirting this year, who could have been starters on last year's team. Like, I think that's a good illustration of how quickly they've overhauled this receivers room. And shout out to wide receivers coach Joker Phillips for, you know, recruiting so much talent to Raleigh and, you know, making this offense probably really exciting. The offensive line, I think, is the biggest question mark. But you're bringing back four starters. Anthony Carter Jr. and Zeke Correll did not play. They're two likely starters from this fall. They're out because of injury. We'll see if they can heal up by the time fall camp rolls around. I've heard positive things on that, but we'll see how that all ends up unfolding. But if you can get just a slightly above average offensive line, I think that's all you need. Because, we didn't even mention Jordan Waters. I don't think he's going to be a feature back. He's going to be really good. Defensively, before we get out of here, I was really impressed with the cornerback room. I didn't really notice Devin Marshall or Brandon Cisse the entire game. That's a good thing. That is a great thing for a defensive back. I think they pretty much locked down their areas of the field. After having Robert Kennedy, who I think was continuously one of the most underrated players on last year's defense. I thought he did a really good job for most of the season. They needed to bring in a really talented nickel, and I think Marshall can be that. I thought he, you know, he did great in coverage against during the spring game this weekend. And then Cisse, I've heard more positive things about him than anyone else this offseason. I think he is a future star in Raleigh if he keeps continuing to progress the way he is. Corey Coley, the Maryland transfer, hearing good things on him. I thought he had a forced fumble on Terrell Anderson early in the spring game where he got knocked out of a screenplay and strained and hustled, got back into the play and forced a fumble. I know Coach Doran is going to love that when he's watching the film. So, and then you put them next to Aiden White, who's pretty dang good himself. So it's going to be a fun game, a fun season to watch with their secondary. Safety, you have some more question marks. Bishop Fitzgerald will slot into one of those spots, but then you have, you know, redshirt freshman Zach Myers, Devin Boykins recovering from an ACL injury, and Donovan Kaufman's coming in as a transfer from Auburn. So secondary, I think, has a lot of potential. Defensive line, hearing great things. One source told me Trevali Price was the MVP of that group during the off season. So, hey, a lot of talent there, especially if Price takes another step. I think that's a really good group. And linebacker-wise, a lot of question marks. Caden Fordham and Devon Vetti will rotate at Mike, I'd guess, throughout the season. At the outside spots, Sean Brown's going to hold down a lot of one of those spots, I think, after making the position switch from safety. And the other one is way up in the air. You've got some talented underclassmen. You got Auburn transfer Cam Riley coming in. So we'll see, man. But a lot of reason to be excited. It's going to be a fun offseason. It kind of starts now of it's just, you know, the speculation machine begins and we get to, you know, Wolfpack fans can let their imaginations run wild here and we can get excited for what's coming up. Noah, any other wrap-up spring game thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I think that's good. I mean, you can look at the kicking spot. Canoe Vincent, you know, hit a long one in the spring game.
Yeah.
I think that settled that. Other than that, I think they got what they need out of spring ball and can move forward and take this tape and study off it for the next few months before they get ready for fall camp, which will be here before we know it.
Absolutely. And that's all from us today, folks. I know we've talked about it's the off season now. No tackle football until August. No basketball for months, but it's still an exciting time for the Wolfpacker.com because silly season is where we thrive. With both portals opening, it's going to be a lot of news, a lot of scoops, a lot of insider intel, and you can get access to all of it for just $1. So go check it out on the Wolfpacker.com. We'll see you there.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.